Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hey, John, have a nice day.
Alrighty, I will. Thanks. I'm at SETC. I'm pretty excited about being here.
Yeah, I am too.
You have a nice day as well.
Thanks. I think I'll try anyway. You know what? We got some really cool stuff coming up this weekend. You know, all of this stuff is, this begins our SETC specials.
Right.
This is the first of our many.
Right.
And we seem to have a lot more people wanting to talk to us this year. I think, I don't know whether it's that we're, I don't know whether we've proven ourselves or what, but but there it is. So we're going to have an interview with the Actors Theater of Louisville.
Okay.
And we're going to have Michael Rode from the Sojourn Theater.
Oh, outstanding.
Coming with us.
From Portland,
that's exactly right. And
yeah.
You know,
Oregon,
what?
That is.
Portland, Oregon, right, yeah. And you know what? That is it. Those two interviews alone are, I mean, just cram-packed
you know?
With all kinds of neat stuff. You know what else is also cram-packed with all kinds of neat stuff?
I think you're going to say Secrets of Screen Acting.
How did you know?
I don't know. We've been doing it long enough, you know?
Yeah.
I think I can,
yeah. Secretsofscreenacting.com. And it's the, for those of you who don't know, it's the podcast edition of Patrick Tucker's book. And we are
of the BBC.
Of the BBC, yeah, sorry. And you can come by and download little 5 minute tips and tricks on how to improve your time in front of the camera. Secretsofscreenacting.com. Let's get into this.
All right.
Carlin Effect, go.
The sky's the limit. Well, how can the sky be the limit? The sky never ends. What kind of limit is that? The earth is the limit. You dig a hole, what do you keep getting? More earth. The earth's the limit.
Thus saith George.
Thus ends his catechism.
My name is Trey Best, and I'm with the Land Workshop Players. And tomorrow we are doing a show called Meet the Surface. It explores teen abuse and gangs and all kind of teen issues. And together, these kids come together and form a friendship. So I'm handing out flyers to come because it's a great show, and you do not want to miss it. So come out and see it, people. Woo!
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
John?
Yes, sir.
We are here with Zan Sawyer Daly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and she is the, tell me your title again, Zan.
I'm the Associate Director.
Of the Actors Theater of Louisville.
Wow.
The Actors Theater of Louisville.
Wow. The Associate Director of the Actors Theater. Well, outstanding.
Yeah.
Welcome.
How are
Thanks
you
for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be here.
And have you seen the view from our room? We have a lovely view of the
panoramic view of
Chattanooga. Well, that and the big neon sign that keeps us awake.
Well, and we also got Lookout Mountain or whatever.
Yeah, which you can't see because of the blinding light of the neon sign there.
Well, we're getting
that
a tan.
Highly recommend it to me, though. Lookout Mountain.
Yeah, if you've never been.
My cab driver assured me it was the thing to do.
Yeah, if you've never been, it's pretty it's pretty spectacular.
That in Rock City, I believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Ruby Falls.
Ooh,
yeah,
I like that.
You can do that all. And the aquarium now. So,
this
portion of the... I went Irish there.
No, this
portion is brought to you by the Chattanooga Chamber of Commerce.
So, Zan, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
I just love saying that name, Chattanooga.
Chattanooga's fun.
It's a great name.
Yeah, it really is.
You can chew that.
It's a lot of fun. So, we brought you in tonight, and it is night. You basically just got off a plane and drove straight to us. And so, thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, really.
But we want to talk about the Humana Festival.
I love to talk about the Humana Festival.
Which is going on right now over there in Louisville. Tell us a little bit about it. Give us a little bit of the history of it, what you can, and then we'll get into the details of this year.
Well, this is the 31st. Annual Humana Festival of New American Plays, and it really is the granddaddy of all the new play festivals that have grown up around the country. And one of the most remarkable things about it is funded, underwritten substantially by the Humana Corporation, which is a for-profit healthcare system that is housed, headquartered in Louisville. And it is the longest standing partnership, corporate partnership that supports the arts. And it is in a class by itself. No other support system has been in place as long as the Humana support system has been.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite an accomplishment for the Humana Corporation. And one of the things that we also love to acknowledge about them is that, you know, they were risk takers when they started that corporation, mm-hmm. and they recognize that this is a risky venture doing new plays. And in all the 31 years, they have never, ever interceded with any kind of censorship or directive or anything. They just really endorse what we do.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. And almost unheard of.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yeah. So the Play Festival has had a lot of different journeys. In its main focus is and has always been on the playwrights, mm-hmm. Which also makes it a little bit unique. We really, really empower the playwrights and do our very best to give them the play that they think they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lot of voice in the decision of who's going to direct it and how it's going to be designed and then who's going to be appearing in it. And they are, by and large, in residence with us throughout their rehearsal period.
Oh, wow.
And we do we operate in three venues. We have a large thrust stage that mm-hmm. seats 650 people. And we have a medium-sized arena stage, which has a seating capacity of about 315. And then we have a small black box, and that seats 115. And so we perform in rep, and we have now come to a realization that 8 plays is about what we will do in the Humana Festival.
Okay.
So we generally do 2 big plays on our main stage, and those tend to be our more user-friendly plays. We tend mm-hmm. to keep that in mind, that is our mainstream subscriber base.
Okay.
And then in the arena stage, which is called the Bingham Theater, we do 4 plays. And so because it's an arena, we do tend to design things so that they can move in and out of that pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a lot of hydraulic lifts in the stage floor, so we can bring scenery in and out pretty quickly and
nice.
Seamlessly. And then we generally do only 1 play in our small theater.
Mm.
Then we also have a training company at the Actors Theater of Louisville. We have 22 young people who work with us throughout the year, and they're cast in plays, and they do a lot of work backstage, and mm-hmm. we have classes for them. And we commission a project specifically for them. So because the festival is all about the playwrights, we decided several years ago that we would actually commission about 8 to 10 emerging playwrights. And we would give them a theme or a topic or an idea, mm-hmm. and they would all sort of respond to that in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with, you know, about 18 to 20 different vignettes, scenes, which we then create into an evening event. And each of our apprentices has something in the festival that was written for them and features them. And it acts as a way to introduce them into the industry on these weekends.
Nice.
So that's a really big part of the festival. And so as we're selecting the plays for the festival, we're very interested in certain kinds of things. One of the things, of course, that we're interested in is new voices and emerging mm-hmm. voices. Mm-hmm. And so for a long time through the festival, we would just read anybody's play that they sent us a play, we'd read it. And after a while, we were getting 10,000 plays a year. Got to be a little too much.
Suddenly, you're reading plays every day of
the
year.
Oh, we do.
Oh, I bet.
We do. So now we read about 5,000 plays a year.
Wow.
And, but we do have a few more restrictions. We take full-length plays only through recognized channels, you know, if an agent
like
or
a literary agent.
Yeah, okay. Agent. But we have for many years had what we call the National 10-Minute Play Contest. And it's a big national contest. Mm-hmm. We have a cash award for it. And we read anybody's 10-minute play.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of have a little bit of a formula that we like to have people conform to with the 10-minute plays. But this has been a way for us to really identify and meet people who are just coming out of their into the market.
Right.
A couple of years ago, we met through a 10-minute play, a young writer named Jordan Harrison, loved his play, did this little 10-minute play as part of the festival. It was a big success. We got on to his next play, which was called Kid Simple, did that as a full length in the next year's festival.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big success. The 2 years after that, we did another play of his called Act a Lady. And Jordan has now gone on to have a very, very healthy, productive career.
Yeah. Right.
He makes money.
Yeah, right.
But he's getting a lot of productions. He's getting a lot of awards. He's getting a lot of recognition. And we really do feel it. In some small part, we were able to foster that talent and bring it along. And that's been a big mission of ours over the years.
So as a hypothetical young player right here, how do I get plays into the 10-minute play and then hopefully expand from there?
Well, on our website, www.actorstheater.org, is all the information. But basically, we accept any and all 10-minute plays.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of formulaic. You know, they tell you on the website how many pages that is.
Okay.
And there's a few suggested ideas, like we're not real interested in anything that's too gratuitous. We are interested in topical stuff. And the reasons for that is because we're going to try to use these for younger actors, and they've been very useful for that. A couple of years ago, we began a partnership with a theater down in Miami called City Theater, and they were very, very interested in producing a full summer event of these 10-minute plays. So it's been a great partnership, because not only do they read half of them for us, which is great, but they're really producing them. And then we are producing them in a 10-minute festival that we do with our training program, our apprentice company. And then we have a big contest, and there's a cash award that was set up through one of our benefactors several years ago called the Heidemann Award. Mm. And it's about $1,500.
Mm.
And so we select three plays from the 10-minute contest, and those are produced in a single bill on the final weekend of the Humana Festival.
Mm.
And it's actually one of the biggest events of the festival, because every year at the festival, we have been privileged to host the American Theater Critics Association.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and they present their awards to various playwrights that they're recognizing. And they like to do that on the Saturday night of our big festival.
Mm.
And so that takes up a little bit of time. And then when we follow that with a full-length play, that takes up a whole lot of time, and we can't get to the party, which is the real reason that they show up on Saturday night.
That's right.
So we've discovered that the 10-minute plays are a great
nice time
a
slot.
Great,
there, right?
A great bit, because they're quick, they're funny, they're challenging, they're meaningful, they're very topical, and they're short. And so we can get through them, and we can get out to that party, which is, you know, the big thing about the festival.
Right. Yeah. So tell us about the party. No.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you about the three different weekends.
Sure, right.
Okay. Because it really is the greatest American theater party ever. I say at SETC, which is maybe the second biggest one.
Right.
So the third weekend before we close, that's like the third weekend in March.
Mm.
And in this year, it's going to be March 15th. We host an event that we call College Days, and it's really, really developed and geared towards all students, but particularly students at the university level, and that would be graduate students as well as undergraduates. And it's not just for actors or playwrights. We cover all the bases, and we've structured it so that students will come in usually as a group, and we have talkbacks with the playwrights. They can meet the playwrights. They can meet the actors. They can take tours of the building. We have panel discussions about the business. We do meetings with agents that are there. We bring in people for them to meet with. And we sort of talk about how you build a career and what is this thing called regional theater, and how is it different from commercial theater, and why is an internship or an apprenticeship an important step in that process? So it's exploded in, we've only been doing it for about 4 years. It's really become as popular as the other two weekends. And the interesting thing is, we only advertise it, at least right now, through e-blasts.
So, wow.
Yeah. So that's been a really profound experience for us to understand how to reach this particular audience.
Sure, right.
So then the weekend after that, which this year is the 21st of March, we do the weekend that we call Theater Professionals. Now, of course, anybody can come to these weekends, but this weekend is really geared towards people in the business who are coming because they want to see the art. So we have a lot of artistic directors, a lot of professional actors, a lot of literary managers, a lot of talent agents and casting directors will come. It's usually people in the business. And then the third weekend, which we call the big weekend, and that's because it's the big party, it's that is about the hustle and sell of these shows. This festival is about one of the primary functions of it is to move these plays into general circulation.
Mm.
We, unlike many other theaters, it has never been our goal to take these plays to New York. We don't actually own these plays. We don't actually have a proprietary interest in them. We have some residual rights to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they go if to a bigger production, we do get a little bit of extra money. But our primary goal is to just make sure that these plays are being done all over the country. Mm-hmm. And so to that end, we invite the national and international press. We'll have people there from the foreign press corps will bring in. We'll have people from China and from Africa, parts of Africa, the Middle East, wow. Everywhere from the USSR and you know, the Republic of Georgia. I mean, it's really phenomenal how people come from all over.
Right.
And one of the reasons they come is because you can see 10 plays in a weekend.
Right.
And so it really is a marathon. We start them on Thursday evening with a party that they go to at various board members' homes. Hmm. And that's a way for them to actually meet people in the community and sure. get to know Louisville and for Louisville to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first show starts at 10 a.m. on Friday. And it goes straight through, and you really don't have an awful lot of time to sleep, you know. And we have food there for people. We keep feeding you, and then on Saturday night there is this phenomenally huge party, and it's a lot of fun. And then they go off and do other, you know, side parties at until all the bars are closed in town. And then on Sunday night they all sort of, you know, wave goodbye and cry and say they'll be back next year.
Sober up and go home.
Yeah. One of the things that we've learned to do over the years, and this, you know, the people who years ago, the first crew that was setting this up, and the woman who set this up still works for us 31 years later.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
But her idea was, you know, the thing that makes Louisville special is its Southern hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
We meet every single person that comes to the festival at the airport.
Wow.
We know who they are. We meet them. We make sure that they have somebody on our staff who knows them so that if they have a question or a problem or anything, if they're not meeting people, we introduce them.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. One of the greatest things we ever produced in the festival, our former producing director, who really was the guy who made this event happen, was a fellow named John Jory. John now teaches at the University of Washington, although he does come back and direct with us.
Mm-hmm.
But he realized one year that people weren't hanging out in the lobbies talking. And he was concerned about that, so we came up with this idea of commissioning little vignettes that we called phone plays. And we had about 20 of these that were written for, you know, by various companies and various writers. And we had a bank of 6 phones, and you, like, a, you know, the old-fashioned payphone, and you would stand in line, and you'd pick up the receiver, and it was on a loop, and you would just drop in wherever the loop was.
Huh.
So it was like you would listen in on a conversation, and you could listen as long as you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would stop, and you could hang up, or you could hang up before it stopped, and the next person would pick up where you left off. And the interesting thing about it was that people didn't know what you were listening to, so everybody started talking in line,
and you'd go from
one phone to the next, you know. And it was a really great way for people to meet friends and, mm-hmm. and to kind of break the ice. Another time, one of the greatest things that we ever produced was called the car play. And it was the hardest ticket to get a hold of because you had an audience of 3.
Wow.
So you would stand, it was very structured how you could get tickets. You could not get a ticket for anybody else. You could only get a ticket for yourself. So you couldn't save a line in place or a place in line or anything. But you would stand in line, and the show was 15 minutes long. It was written by Richard Dresser. And you would, when it was your turn, you would go and get in the back seat of the car, and there were 3 of you. And there were 2 actors in the front seat, and they would drive around the block and do the play. And one of the actresses would sort of throw a piece of underwear in the back seat at one point. Somebody would catch it. And Rick Dresser, who wrote the play, said that the most nerve-wracking experience of his career was he went to see the show and found himself between 2 theater critics.
Oh, no.
Busily writing notes. And they really didn't know who he was.
Oh.
But that little play that he wrote for us has been running nonstop in Berlin for 20 years.
Wow. that's something else, man. That's awesome.
A little 3-minute car play.
God, that's funny. You have to tell us about this year's season, though. Who are the playwrights that you've got this season? And
it's a great lineup. We have Lee Blessing, who is one of the most distinguished playwrights in the American theater.
Sure.
And he has written a play for us called Great Falls. It's a 2-hander, which we suspect will be done in every regional theater in the country next year. And it's a journey across America that a stepfather takes with his estranged stepdaughter as they try to reconcile their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a killer.
Oh, bad.
We have a play by Gina Gianfrido, who we produced her play after Ashley a couple of years ago. It had a very successful New York production, and she writes for Law and Order now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a play called Becky Shaw, and it's about the dysfunction in relationships and how you kind of meet somebody that you then cannot get out of your life.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What happens when you want someone to go away?
Wow.
It's very funny and very, very edgy. And then the third play in that venue is a remarkable performance piece by a hip-hop solo artist named Mark Bemuthi Joseph. And he has a couple of hip-hop buddies with him. One of them is a guy named DJ XS, and the other one is a guy named Tommy Shepherd. And it's a sort of a hip hop journey through African American culture and through the African American experience of being a gay man and being a man with a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really beautiful piece, and he's an extraordinary performer. That's being co-produced with the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis, so it will go directly from us up to Minneapolis.
Okay.
On our main stage, we have two shows. One of them is a piece that was developed by an ensemble company in New York called The Civilians. And it's a play taken from interviews that they did last summer in Colorado Springs, which is the home, the largest capital of the evangelical world. And there are something like, forgive me, I think it's like 25 large evangelical churches there, including the largest kind of mega church, which is called New Life. Mm-hmm. It's also the headquarters of Focus on the Family,
uh-huh.
which is a very prominent evangelical, radio program.
Sure, right. Mm-hmm.
And it's got music. It's really inspirational. It does a terrific job of presenting the story, not mm-hmm. only of the evangelicals, but also of the other people who live in Colorado Springs and what it's like to be there. And it's a really joyous celebration. We know that that piece has already been sort of the center of a lot of attention, mm-hmm. and we'll have a lot of activity following our production of it. Another play that we're doing in that theater is written by a young playwright named Carly Mensch. She's 24 years old. She's a graduate student in the MFA writing program at Juilliard. This is her first big production.
Oh, cool.
And it's a lovely play called All Hail Hurricane Gordo. It's about two brothers and their love for each other and their will to survive against a lot of social obstacles. It's very funny and it's very heartwarming.
Mm.
And that is being co-produced with the Cleveland Playhouse. So that will go directly from our stage up to Cleveland.
To Cleveland. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the last play that we're doing is a very scary, very edgy piece called Neighborhood 3 by a young writer out of the Brown Writing Program named Jennifer Haley. And it's inside and part of a video game called War of the Worlds, or something. I'm not sure if that's the name of the video game, but it's a real video game. And it's one of those things where anybody who plays this game, you start setting up your teams. You know, you meet all these people through the internet. And
oh, I think Warcraft. World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And it kind of crosses the line, and you don't know whether you're in the video game or of the video game or watching the video game. It's really, really exciting.
Okay.
And so that's in our smallest theater. And then finally, we do these 10-minute plays mm-hmm. on the big weekend, and we also do what we call an anthology, and that is a piece that has been written by about 8 different writers, and they create this material specifically for our apprentice company. So the apprentices are featured in their own event, and they are introduced to the industry through this. And we often had a topic or a theme. So this year, our topic is sports in America.
Oh, okay.
And so the title of the piece is Game On. And we have 8 different writers sort of sharing with us their views of sports in America.
Wow.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. Very athletic.
Okay. Well, it would have to be now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So that's the festival.
Wow. Cool. And so if general public who is not, college students mm-hmm. or anything, excuse me. general public who wants to get a ticket, not part of college weekend, not part of anything else. How do you get tickets to this?
Well, you can, of course, come any time and you'll be able to see several plays because right now we already have three up and running and we're opening one every couple of days now.
Okay.
We open them abroad every 4 days. We sort of live in tech for about 8 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. You can literally just either go online. We sell our tickets online, or you can call our box office and get some information from them. They'll be happy to answer questions.
Okay.
You know, we have different kinds of packages. So depending on when you want to come and how many plays you want to see, you don't have to do the whole festival. You can see parts of it.
Okay, so it's kind of a build your own festival kind of thing in terms of audiences.
Yes, and large. On the three big weekends, we have a couple of different packages, but you sort of have to buy into one of those many packages. But maybe you only want to be there for 2 days and maybe you only want to see four plays. So you can do that.
So this is truly destination theater. I mean, this is people come specifically for...
Absolutely.
That's great.
It really is. We have people, I mean, there are any number of people who have seen all 31 years of the festival and have seen every one of the festival plays. Every year that we mark these people, they get a different kind of prize.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. We do a lot to recognize our diehards.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Now, it's not the Actors Theater of Louisville is not just about the Humana Festival, though.
No.
You have a full season. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we are a very ambitious little theater. We do about 25 productions a year in our three theaters. And we have a budget of about $12 million. So we're not actually considered one of the biggest theaters in America. We're sort of in the modest range. And part of that is because Louisville itself is a modest sized town. But we operate in these three venues and we have different types of seasons. So we do a populist season where we're doing shows like Doubt and other plays that every other theater in America is doing. And then we have three plays that we do every year that pretty much underwrite us. And one of those is an annual production of Dracula that we do in the month of October. And I'm telling you, it is a scary, scary gothic horror fest. And it's got blood and gore and all kinds of special effects. And we sell it out. I mean, it's gone the day we put it on sale. And it's a real cult following. People come in costume. And, you know, it is really a lot of fun.
It's the Rocky Horror.
It is.
Wow.
And then we also do an annual production of Christmas Carol. Ours is the second longest running production of Christmas Carol in the country. The Guthrie Theater has been doing it longer. So we've been doing Christmas Carol for 28 years.
Wow.
There are people in Louisville whose children grew up on it and who are now bringing their grandchildren to it. And
that's something.
Yeah, it's a real tradition. And we're very careful not to, you know, rock that boat.
Yeah. Sure,
much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it is our you know, our Christmas card. But then we also do an annual production of A Tuna Christmas, which is for those who don't like it quite so saccharine.
Sure.
And that's also another big, big boost in our season. So around that, of course, the Humana Festival is one slot in our main stage season. We do eight to 10 plays in it, but it's really only considered one slot.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a full season of other things. We do classical work. We do contemporary work. And then we do the new work.
So there's usually something to see at Actors Theater Louisville pretty much all year long.
Well, we used to produce in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of stopped producing in the summer because our staff was dying. And so
for the life of me imagine why.
So we're sort of dark for about 6 weeks.
Okay.
Although we do a lot of rentals during that time. So if you happen to be in Louisville, you will probably be able to come into the theater and see something.
See
it may not necessarily be ours.
Okay.
But we start our season up in the middle of August, and we actually have a huge event in Louisville that many of you may have heard of called the Derby.
I think I've heard of something about this.
Yeah, the Kentucky Derby is Louisville's you know, big, big event.
Some kind of car race, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So big hats.
Big hats.
The Derby Festival kicks off the middle of April with a huge event called Thunder Over Louisville, which is the world's largest, longest fireworks display.
Wow.
And it is spectacular. If you don't like fireworks, you got to come and see this because it's an hour long program over the Ohio rivers. And it draws a crowd of about 500,000 people. And because it's such a big crowd, they start the day at about 8 a.m. with an air show.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big day. And then every couple of days after that, there's some other kind of racing event. So for instance, there's the Race of the Rosés where all the waiters get in town and race around with a glass of rosé in their hands. We have a steamboat race where we get a couple of steamboats on the Ohio River and they try to outdo each other. we have a lot of foot races, you know, mm-hmm. the mini marathon and then there's a marathon race. And then that culminates in the Kentucky Derby. Well, what we have learned over the years is that you can't sell tickets past that. Nobody wants to go to the theater after mm-hmm. Derby because it's sort of the whole season changes.
Right.
And it's track time. So sure, yeah. We end our season pretty early in May.
Okay.
As a result of that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We cannot thank you enough for coming in here and
sitting with us.
Right off the plane.
Yeah, I know, right off the plane.
This was so much fun. Thanks a lot. Come up and see us.
Oh, we will. We definitely will. All right. We want to very much.
Well, if you know, just visit our website. Anybody out there who's got any questions, it's a terrific website, and we'd be happy to see you in Louisville.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Megan Stein. I'm originally from Panama City, Florida. I go to the University of Montevallo in Alabama, and I'm here at the Southeastern Theater Conference this week to audition for regional theater companies and hopefully get a fantastic job. So if you need a cute little blonde singer, actor, dancer, and you're listening to this, I am more than happy to accept phone calls and emails.
Number 588. 588. Want to stay current with The Inexplicable Bum Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicablebumshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
When we don't have guests in studio, how do we talk to them?
Interesting question, John. We use a program called Skype.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Well, it's a piece of software that you can download it. It's free to download. You can use it to talk to other Skype users over the internet for free, or you can make cheap phone calls to phones and mobile phones worldwide through the Skype Out program.
Okay, and how would I, perchance, acquire Skype?
Well, what you can do is you can go to inexplicabledumbshow.com and click on the Download Skype button on the left-hand side of the page.
It's as easy as that?
It's as easy as that.
Wow. I'll go do that right now.
All right, John. So here we are. We're sitting here at SETC again, and we have...
Still.
Still.
It's week 12 at SETC.
And we're sitting here with Michael Rode, and this is with Sojourn. You're with Sojourn Theater.
Okay.
And so tell us a little bit about what you did there at Sojourn. I know there's this whole creation of your own work kind of thing, but tell us why you're here at SETC and kind of give our listeners an idea of what you guys do.
Okay, sure. So I'm the artistic director of Sojourn Theater in Portland, Oregon, and we're an 8-year-old ensemble-based theater company, and we make original, collaboratively devised performance.
Mm-hmm.
We make shows. A lot of the work is site-specific. So, for example, last summer, a show of ours that got a bunch of attention out there was an adaptation of Brecht's play Good Person of Szechuan, staged in a Subaru dealership. So the audience showed up and for 2 hours took a journey through a city block scale actual operating Subaru dealership. And the show was staged in the mechanics pits, in the inventory lot, in the sales office,
awesome.
In the front dealership showroom. So a lot of the work sort of asked an audience to have a very different experience of live performance. We did a show years ago in a giant old abandoned warehouse by the river. We did a show at a train station. We did a show in an old department store. And the shows are a mixture of adaptations of classics sort of through a lens of a contemporary civic or social issue that a community might be interested in or that we might be interested in exploring with a community, like with the Brecht play, issues of responsibility and business and ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Very relevant in Portland, Oregon in particular, but a national issue.
I can think
issue.
Of a few other places, too.
Yeah, right.
A lot of places.
Yeah, right. Right.
So, and then we do sort of work that is more sort of poetic documentary where we pick an issue. We worked on public education for 3 years and we interviewed over 500 people, much like you're interviewing me, one-on-one all over the state of Oregon. And then we created an original show and for a year we toured it all over the state with free Sunday performances followed by town hall dialogues with political leaders and citizens.
Wow.
So we do a lot of sort of spectacle work, but we also do a lot of civic engagement work, not like political didactic social theater,
sure.
but shows that engage a civic inquiry around a social issue through really like compelling, entertaining theater.
So it's more or less one of the catchphrases you hear is, you know, bringing awareness. You're actually starting dialogue.
Yeah, we're not so interested in awareness. awareness is great,
yeah.
and it's a part of a good dialogue. But we're sort of not interested just in the expression of multiple point of views, but how do those expressions then become an actual public space for really unique. Sort of reflective conversation that actually brings people together who might not be in a room together otherwise. And some of our shows sort of tour in more traditional theater venues.
Sure.
like I personally right now I'm working on a commission for Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Okay.
So I'm creating their first devised and site-specific piece they'll ever have done out there with the acting company.
Wow, that's
and
cool. It's
partly because their team has seen Sojourn shows over the last 8 years and is interested in the way that we work.
That's awesome. So is it a collaborative effort then, or is it?
The company is indeed a core ensemble of performers and designers and stage management that have been working together at the core for almost 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we do indeed, I sort of write and direct the shows out of a collaborative process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like the authorship usually says, written by Michael Rode in collaboration with the names of everybody involved in that project.
Right, okay.
Right.
So a lot of improv then, a lot of improv type work, and then also, I mean, are these...
You know, we use a lot of improvisational techniques, absolutely, but we're also a very physical, choreographic company, movement-based theater, especially with the large spectacle pieces like in a car dealership. If you were to go to our website, you'd see a video excerpt from that show, and what you would see would look as much like dance theater or like, I don't know, I'd throw out like the name Pina Bausch or Robert Lepage or some of these sort of European movement theater folks have influenced us a lot. But then there's also like good old song and dance numbers in the pieces as well.
Right.
So it's pretty, the text-based improvisation is a part of the process, but so is working with choreographers and multimedia folks.
Right. So cool. plug the website.
The website is www.sojourntheater.org. And I'm here at SETC because I'm also a visiting professor at Northwestern University in Chicago where I teach devising performance.
Okay.
And so they invited me here to teach. Today I did a two-hour workshop for the K-12 Institute of Teachers and Artists. And then tomorrow I'm giving a master class that's just open.
Oh,
so
cool.
Workshops on collaborative devising.
Awesome. That's incredible. And we appreciate you sitting down with us. But that's
it is a pleasure to sit down with you.
that's awesome. And what an amazingly
what drew you to this kind of theater? What sparked you and the eight core members that went, wow, I want to do something at a Subaru dealership. I mean, what
you know, I've been really. I came out of college in the late 80s, trained as an actor and a playwright, and was in Chicago. That's where I went to school, and came out. It was a very rich time in the theater scene there, you know, Wisdom Bridge and Steppenwolf and Remains and all these companies. But the truth is, as I started to get involved as a performer in town, two things. One, I found that most often theater happens in a building in a neighborhood, but the theater has nothing to do with the place where it happens.
Right.
It's like
desperately
trying to get people from somewhere else to come buy a ticket and come.
Uh-huh.
And as silly as it sounds, like my high school and college and even summer camp theater experience was like all about the community that gets built around performance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not like to knock large nonprofits or commercial theaters, because that's great work and I'm interested in that work. But I rarely found the sense of community outside the rehearsal room in those experiences. And I was really interested in being a part of building community with actual larger communities and artists, somehow simultaneously exploring interesting issues, but also making performance outside of theater venues. Because the truth is, basically, the same people come to theater venues again and again and again.
So
if you really want to meet and engage with different audiences, in a way, you got to go out and perform and find different sites.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways that you start to find different ways of storytelling and different ways of engaging with public space and different ways of sort of not being innovative to be innovative, but finding out how innovation needs to happen when you work in a non-traditional space.
Sure.
Right. And giving the audience a totally different experience.
Very different experience.
Let me ask you this question, because I know a lot of our listeners probably right now going, because I'm going, yeah, that's awesome, but how do you get the word out to, if your performance space changes every single time you do a show,
so,
what's your marketing like?
So not hard. So interesting, because I think when you're doing stuff like that that is so different than a lot of other traditional theaters, basically, as long as you got to get the press, you got to get people to write about it, you got to get in the paper, you got to get online.
Mm-hmm.
But if as long as there is an awareness of your thing, basically, unless word gets out that it's really crappy, like people are interested that, what do you mean there's a show in a car dealership? What do you mean that there's this show that's working with the mayor's office and
the
it's touring?
Around?
Yeah, I mean, it's like really different. It's not actually, I don't want to say it's not hard, because you always have to work on building audience as you build community.
Sure.
But if it's something really different, people are generally intrigued by that. And as we've built up a name for ourselves in Portland, I think people sort of want to see the next thing to a degree.
Sure.
Now I also have to say that, like, the car dealership show, 40 people a performance.
Right.
Now, we ran for a month and a half, but it's not like we ran to thousands and thousands
of
people.
Sure, right. Well,
but that's what you do if you're doing that kind of space. The show we're working on now that opens in 3.5 weeks is called Throwing Bones, and it's based on a lot of research in South Africa that one of our artists did, and it's about healthcare and healing in traditional Southern African cultures and in Western medicine, like in Portland.
Right.
And we're staging the show in a nursing skills lab at a college of nursing. Wow. So it's like one of those fake surgery theaters sort of the dry. So, you know, we can maybe get 80 people a performance in there. And that means we got to really be getting the word out. So a lot of people want to see it before it's gone.
So how do you go to a dealership or the college and say, I would love to, you know,
do a play in your space.
Use your space.
It was a lot harder when we first got to town. The truth is that now that people sort of know us, or we can refer people to other hosts, it doesn't sound as crazy because we have a packet of press we can show about what we've done. So, for instance, the car dealership, I got excited after a lot of work with the company that Brecht adaptation, which was really an adaptation of the Chinese folktale, not the Brecht play, but the same thing in a way.
Right, true.
I got excited that cars were really connected to American notions of buying and selling, and I sent out an email saying, wouldn't it be cool to do this in a car dealership? Who should we talk to? And it turned out one of our company friends / fans, her dad is one of the major car dealership owners in the state of Oregon.
Wow.
And she took me to lunch with him, and we met and talked, and such a generous family, so
awesome.
Wonderful.
Wow.
And they were like, this sounds really cool. Get people in to look at our cars.
Exactly, yeah.
Then see
it
play.
It becomes a marketing thing.
I was
going to
say, how many Subarus were sold after your performance run.
They wanted to sell. One of our performers played a salesman in the show, and I swear the owner of the dealership went up to him and offered him a job at the end of opening night.
That's great.
And I mean, pretty seriously, because the guy was great.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
So we and the School of Nursing, we just really were very, very persistent. And there's a couple schools of nursing in town.
Uh-huh.
One college we had a relationship with, and we really called this poor woman a lot until she would meet with us, and then actually showed up at her office one day, and you just keep trying to get them to see the possibilities, and if you're lucky, and if the, you know, for whatever you do, you probably have gatekeepers, whether it's involved with the internet or getting the word out to other communities. She was the gatekeeper, and it's all about building a relationship with her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're working on with the podcast here. Is we're trying to find sponsorships because, I mean, we're doing this out of our own pockets at this point, that kind of thing. We're trying to build up ideas, and we're trying to find people that are patrons of the arts that want to find a way to support what we do in terms of this is all about bringing awareness and talking about these things, but to bring those people in, and that's the thing we keep running into is I don't know, man, we'll see, and then we just persistence of keep calling and keep
calling. A good idea,
maybe next year.
That's the only way, right?
Of course.
I mean, if you start up a nonprofit theater, you start up anything, like, nobody's gonna pick up the phone the first time and be really excited you called asking for whatever.
That's true.
I mean, never.
That's so true. Listen, we really appreciate you sitting down.
It's a pleasure. I really appreciate you guys.
It sounds like really amazing stuff. We will link to the website on our website as well. And
thank you.
I'll send you. I think I've got your email, so I'll send you links and stuff like that.
Please send links so I can link folks.
We'd love to.
And when does this Throwing Bones
opens on Friday, March 28th in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You guys have a great time. I'm sure I'll see you here the next time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So have a nice day.
Thank you. Oh, you mean what is it?
Right. Why did you name it?
Well, because on September 19th, 1982, the first emoticons were posted by Scott Fallman. You know the emoticons, the little sideways smiley faces that people put in emails and IMs and
text? Yep. They've been around that long?
Yep. Emoticons are a combination of words, the combination of the words emotion or emote and icon. An emoticon is a symbol or a combination of symbols used to convey emotional content written in message form.
Wow, thank you, Captain Geek Boy.
Absolutely, I'm here for you.
I will have to say that he did get that information off a smartphone Palm Pilot.
I did.
Captain Geek. He got it from his palm.
That's right. So what are you going to call 83?
I'm going to call it Old Blue Eyes.
Well, I know who Old Blue Eyes is. I'm not...
Right.
Not sure how
this one's not as tricky, but it's Old Blue Eyes.
Okay, all right. Well, I won't...
Or is it?
I won't...
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, well, I won't spoil it then. Old Blue Eyes, episode 83. That'll be next week. So we got to say a special thanks to Zan Sawyer Daly from the Actors Theater of Louisville.
Thank you for stopping by, coming in off the plane.
Yes.
Right into an interview.
Late at night last night. That was fantastic. Michael Rode, what an amazing guy he is.
Wow. Yeah, an interesting artist.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to see a show that Sojourn Theater is put on.
Wherever they're putting it on.
Right. Subaru dealership, nursing school.
That's exactly right.
wherever.
Get up there, check it out. Let them know you heard about them right here on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. We got to say, you know, all these people here, I'm looking at all these young faces walking around here at SETC. You know, I wonder how many of them know about Secrets of Screen Acting. And I'm hoping that after we leave here, they will know more. SecretsOfScreenActing.com, of course, is the podcast edition of Patrick Tucker's book by the same name. And you can go over there and find a little 5-minute little snippets about how to improve your time in front of the camera. SecretsOfScreenActing.com, right here from SETC 2008. We'll have more next week. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Alternative Media.